The U.S. Open, this year at Oakmont.
Did you find it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. That is cooked beyond belief. That's more than half baked there. It's burnt to a crisp. Oh, my gosh.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
It's very good.
Gotta make that par now, and that's what Oakmont does to you.
The Fan.
Well, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on a Tuesday edition of hour number two.
Hey, here we go. Officially.
Here we go.
Look at that. We were even early today.
Nothing better. Yeah. I asked Swag, what time do
finishing
we need to
early happens from time to time.
To come back exactly at 7 where I could say hello.
Yeah.
And he got a little early, but we timed it.
I said I'm good for 90 seconds. It was only 45, but who's counting?
If you missed our Trajan Wealth spot, they are helpful in retirement planning. Dirt read exactly the same line as me.
I just wanted to double the point home.
I don't think
I want to make sure that the people understand what they provide.
Core capital preservation.
Yes, thank you. It was such a good point that I wanted to, put an exclamation point on it and put it in bold. Make sure it's in there.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. We've got an update in Omaha that we'll get to. Dirt's reading me some odds here, so we'll get to a little bit of that.
How about the Murray State story? We can talk about that, too. That's pretty cool.
I had in the show notes. Okay. I thought it was worthy of bringing up. They beat Duke yesterday. We have a special edition of the Daily Ticker today at 7:30. Swag's excited, which makes me even more excited for it.
We got juices flowing for 7:30.
But I don't know if Swag is excited when he shouldn't be excited. So I guess we'll get to find out at 7:30 together.
Okay. Does he bring the boom?
I think he's bringing boom. Look at his face. That's a boom face.
You give me two booms over there? You give me a boom boom?
Forgot to tell you that we played Friday. You ditched out on us.
I did, yeah. I had a wonderful day Friday.
He hit a really good shot,
uh-huh.
And I was out there telling everybody good job, being, happy golf guy despite not playing very
sure.
well.
You're positive Patty out on the course now.
And he hit a good shot, and I was reaching for something as I said it to him, and he doesn't know that I know this, but he put his fist out because he thought I was going to give him some knucks.
You didn't give him knucks?
And I saw his knucks, but it was too late, and so he realized I wasn't giving him the knucks, so he put the hand away, and then I was going to. Hey, I gave him later, but I caught the moment where I said something. Hey, nice shot. And I turned around and he thought I was going to give him a little dab. And no, I didn't.
I think we need to bring back the butt pat. Give him a good butt pat after that nice shot. Go give him just right cheek. Boom.
Yeah. He was getting a little frustrated.
Hell of a shot. So no, why are you getting frustrated,
Swigard?
He
had a couple moments.
I had a blow up hole.
I mean, look, we're not good.
Thank you.
You suck at golf.
Yeah.
We all suck at golf.
We're all terrible.
Just different levels of suck. We all suck.
Between the two of us, though, he had the only birdie.
I mean, that's great. And birdie's nice. Celebrate the birdie.
Yeah.
Highs and lows.
It was a nice hole out on a par three.
Yeah, I heard about it
back
yesterday.
Over a bunker.
Hit it. Oh! Yeah, those feel good, don't they?
Good moment.
You got to remember, we all suck.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
Exactly.
You're still going to suck tomorrow, and you'll suck next week. So enjoy it out there.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program, but I wanted to start it off. We didn't get to this yesterday, and I thought it was worthy of bringing up. The Blazers announced some coaching additions to the bench.
They did. We have new assistant coaches in town.
We got one of the guys fired from Memphis.
Who was their lead assistant, Bob. Thank you very much. Also, the architect of the offense of a recent NBA champion.
The offense that they,
why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it?
So I'm curious on the reading of this. I also saw that same description, but I thought they kept the guy who really was the architect of the offense.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You're supposed to know this stuff, not me.
The Finnish guy.
I saw a tweet that said he was right. The main architect of a championship team.
I don't know what to make of the Memphis situation.
We're back to
fallout.
The Terry Stotts situation. Remember, he was the architect of the offense for Dirk Nowitzki. Remember that? But this guy's only an assistant. He's not our head coach.
Well, he's here nonetheless. But the name that really stuck out for people because we know him. He played in the NBA.
We've heard of him before.
Famously blocked at the rim by LeBron James.
Yeah.
Tiago Splitter.
Yes.
Tiago Splitter, formerly of the Spurs, of course. He got into coaching once his career was done. And had two stints, one of which was with the Houston Rockets. And I saw this from Sean Hyken. Alperen Sengun gives Tiago Splitter a lot of the credit for his development. And obviously, when you hire a former NBA center to be an assistant coach, I think it's quite clear the organization is saying, we want to develop Donovan Clingan.
It's a very important thing to do.
It would be massive, because right now we're all sitting collectively saying, we don't think we have a one. Now, I could come in here and say, Tiago Splitter's going to make Donovan Clingan our one.
We got our new superstar.
That ain't going to happen.
I heard it here first.
But I do think it's showing, like, yo, we got to develop more guys offensively, because right now we are very limited. You look at the roster and you say, how many ball shot creators do you have on the team? There's not a lot of them. So you got to get something from Donovan on the offensive end. To what is the, what's the ceiling on this? I have no clue. I tend to believe he's going to be a career 12, 13 point per game, 13, 14, you know, 12, 13, 14 rebounds, whatever, 1.9 to 2 blocks a game guy. Sure. I think that's kind of his up end stat line.
That's fair.
But I think the organization hiring a Tiago Splitter is, hey, maybe there's an idea that this dude can get his footwork better. He comes into better shape year two, and he develops some kind of game from a guy who played.
Well, not to mention the fact that you have a very interesting decision to make long-term at that position. DeAndre Ayton is going into the final year of his contract. What is the long-term plan at center? Is DeAndre Ayton a part of that vision? Is he a trade piece because he's on an expiring deal?
Well, wouldn't we say it would be Donovan?
I mean, you would imagine it would be, and maybe this is a huge part of it, but what's the decision going to be with Ayton? Do you let him walk? Do you try and move him as an expiring?
If you're not signing him, you have to trade him.
I would tend to
agree
with you.
Whether that's the summer or the trade deadline.
If he's an expiring deal, I would imagine that he would be gone and not extended. But I
give you a hot take.
Sure.
I almost kind of wonder, and they did a tweet with him the other day, and one of our listeners was like, guys, why would you tweet this?
Getting nervous here.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. If I'm a team, you'd have to really put a team in a pinch. So unless a team with a starting good center suffers a massive, crazy, unexpected injury, if that doesn't happen, why would a team trade us anything of value for a contract that's going to end in 2 months?
Yeah, that's looking for a piece. I mean, if you're trading
for
DeAndre Ayton,
wouldn't you be better served to trade in the summer versus, like, we're going to hold this thing until the deadline and be like, what?
I mean, we did that with Jeremy Grant, and it backfired tremendously.
That's
in
what
our
I'm
face.
Saying is, yeah. Did we learn? I guess I'm just wondering, like,
that's why I'm
is
asking.
That market going to be
don't think so.
There at the trade deadline?
I mean, is there any NBA team out there? Like, DeAndre Ayton's not a terrible player. I know we're losing the plot of the main segment here, but. DeAndre Ayton's not a terrible player. I don't know if he's a guy that you're going to rely on night in and night out. There are a lot of nights where I feel like he doesn't care, and I do question the overall level of intensity that he plays with over the course of an 82-game season. And you spent a top-10 draft pick on Donovan Clingan, and you've hired now a former NBA center, I would assume, in hopes of growing him into becoming that guy for you long-term. Whether he's ready in game one next year, who knows? Knowing the Blazers, they'll probably play him 12 minutes a game for the first 2 months of the season. But DeAndre Ayton can be an impact player on a team. The tough part is his salary and how it fits in, because I don't see any sort of tanking or rebuilding team making that level of move. That move screams to me, our missing piece is a center, and do we have the financial resources to fold that into our cap for a year? Because he's making a lot of money. And so it's not an easy situation to just, you know, offload him, because how many teams, A, that are contending need a center, and then again, B, have the money to fit that in. So it's not an easy solution. But the hiring of a former center for Klingon, I am encouraged by. I mean, it makes sense, right? You got this guy who was the 7th overall pick in the draft. He showed flashes, a ton of inconsistency, as you're expected to see with a rookie. I will continue to beat the dead horse and say that I didn't agree with the idea of having two other centers ahead of him on the depth chart. Now, thankfully, Robert Williams can't stay healthy, and so that didn't last very long.
Thankfully, they should have traded him.
Should have traded him last offseason as well. It absolutely did backfire, but eventually Klingon was able to play more minutes, and his legs didn't fall off in the back half of the year, so I was encouraged by that. I think you're looking at a player, if you can become a guy who's averaging 11, 12 rebounds a game, which he should, considering the rebounds per minute that his averages were over the course of the year, and you're a double-double type player who can occasionally knock down an open three, like, that to me is the part of his game that if you can turn it into a pick and pop kind of center where you can't just leave him wide open because he can make you pay. I'm not asking for a full Lopez bro here, but like a half of a Lopez bro that can knock down a 3-point shot at like a 38% clip. I think that's the ceiling you're looking at for Donovan Clingan. And maybe Splitter helps him get there.
So the draft is right around the corner. I mean, it is rapidly approaching here. It's going to be in this month.
It is
the 20th, Swag? Do I have that right? The 20th?
25th. It's 25th, the day after we're back Fan Golf Classic, and then we're right into the draft.
And so there's still like so much that needs to be worked out here. We don't know what teams are going to trade or keep their picks. I'm curious, like a Derek Queen being on the board.
Take another big, baby.
Ace Bailey slipped to you. Do you take him? I don't think he'll slip all the way down to 11 because there's potential there, but he's also a little bit of a question mark for a lot of people.
He's become that, yeah.
Is the James Wiseman player just with confidence? Because that could absolutely happen. I just don't have a read. Like, I feel like there's maybe an obvious answer, but I don't have a read of where they're going to go at 11.
Yeah, I don't know if Bailey or Queen will be there for them. To me, 11 screams the kind of guy that we've been talking, and that is
Carter Bryant.
You're going high upside,
Cedric Cowards.
not an immediate impact player because you're just not going to likely find that at 11, and you're going with the guy that's, hey, in 3 years, what can he turn into?
Sure.
And can you become an impact player in the NBA? And that's the roll of the dice that you got to make at this point because
that's kind of their MO, right? When you look at their draft, guys who need to develop.
Hey, Ryan Rupert's really long, though. Have you seen his wingspan at the combine? You get a lot of that.
There's absolutely a lot of that, right? Like taking Shaden. It seems maybe for some that was obvious to do at 7. That was still a big swing. He hadn't played organized basketball for very long in his life. He didn't play at Kentucky. And so they took the guy who was hyper-athletic and super young. Anfernee Simons, IMG Academy, 19 years old. Like, here you go. Like, develop. Their organizational philosophy outside of a Dame Lillard seems to be
take a flyer on a guy.
Yeah, there is that.
High upside.
There is that.
Will it work out? I don't know, but take a flyer on a guy.
I don't know either, but there seems to be a lot of that, whether it's a Mike Schmitz or a previous, you know, whatever the regime, however structured before that. It is a bit of a take the chance.
Yeah, I tend to continue to be in the category of you trade the pick. I think the further that we get closer we get to the draft. I mean, they're not going to do
it. What's the possibilities in your mind?
Doesn't mean I can't have the opinion.
No, I'm not saying you can.
Because you're telling me that you're close to competing, you've taken this massive step, and you might already have the superstar on your roster. And so if you're drafting a Carter Bryant, let's just use that as the example. What is the pie-in-the-sky scenario in your mind of how long it takes Carter Bryant to be a true impact player on a winning team?
I mean.
Right? So you're telling me you've taken a big step.
A good role guy, maybe. Okay. High impact is tough.
Sure. And are we talking 2 to 3 years down the line?
With him, he's interesting. Reading
played
about
1
him,
year in college.
Since they brought him up on the pod or on our show from the No Ceilings pod, and Swag had mentioned his name, I'm following and digging in as much as I can leading into this thing 15 days out. There's absolutely a lot where I'm like, dude, 2 years, but it's two years
that you're still, that's the biggest asset you have.
And he still has
a lot
of question marks.
He does, and he doesn't have much of an offensive game, and maybe that can develop, and maybe it can grow. You have no clue. All of these guys are a crapshoot. I'm not saying he can or can't be something. I'm just using their own language, and their language is the Blazers, that we're close. We took a big step. Look at the win improvement. We feel like we can contend for a playoff or a play-in spot next year, and I don't know how, if that is your goal as an organization, drafting somebody at 11 who is a project helps you in the short term at all. And so I'm still in the category, and I continue to grow in that category. If you're telling me you're close, go trade the pick. Let's go get somebody that can help you now.
I've gone back and forth. I've had days where I'm like, trade the pick. And I've texted people, and I'm like, trade it. And then I've heard the counter to that, and I understand it. I tend to believe they're not even considering trading that pick. Rookie skill contracts, guys. but then I also see the other side of that of, if you were to hit on the kid from Illinois or the BYU kid or the Arizona kid.
You want a demon in your life?
If he's a good player, yeah. And he seems to have a little bit of a Denny thing, right? But like, if you were to take those swings and they do it in 2 years, you're going to feel amazing about that.
You're going to feel fantastic.
And I also don't know what you're getting for 11. Here's, can you get a couple? Can you get two?
I mean, it's not just
picks?
11. It's you would have to pack. I mean, it'd have to be a part of a bigger deal, I would imagine.
I don't know, man. What veteran outside of Ant is on this team that people are like, hey, we want him? Remember Malcolm Brogdon?
One of the problems
he's a free agent, and people are like, I don't really want that guy.
Hey, you got him. You got Denny Avdija from Malcolm Brogdon. How dare you?
Absolutely. But I'm saying if there's not a team that's desperate for center, the Lakers are one of these teams. They need a center.
Yeah, you want DeAndre Ayton down there?
Well, they might. It's a one-year contract at this point. Yeah. If there, unless there's that team, I don't know who wants Jeremy Grant.
Nobody wants Jeremy Grant.
Right.
At
so
this point.
Unless you're agreeing to sign and trade with Anthony Simons because he's going to want an extension, I don't know if so much it's an offloading of veteran contract more so than it is a team moving up and you move back and you get another pick with it.
Yeah, that could be the case. I don't know what they're going to end up doing, but I'm fascinated to see how it all plays out because if they take a guy at 11 who doesn't do much in his rookie year and the team ends up being relatively the same, maybe a slight regression, I'm just curious what we're all saying a year from now.
Well, yeah. I don't think we're going to say much of anything a year out from now. It's going to be the same as Donovan Klingon. There were going to be flashes.
No, I'm just saying it's not even about the player. It's just about the overall direction of the organization. If you end up, you know, what did they win, 36 games this year?
36, yeah.
So you just draft a journeyman. Not journeyman's not the right word, but you draft a project with the 11th overall pick.
Which you're hoping
you're going
is high
to get.
End, yeah.
You're hoping is high end. He doesn't have much of an impact as a rookie, and I'm not going to say we're all going to throw him out after 1 year, just like we're not doing it with Klingon. He might turn into an all-star center for all we know. We have no clue. But you're telling me that you're close, and then you're saying, well, let's use the pick, let's not make a move to go help ourselves win now, and then there's not a huge increase in win-loss total a calendar year from now. I'm just curious, are we just touting the cap flexibility? Is that where we're going? Hey, Ant's an expiring, but what if we re-sign Anthony Simons? There goes some of that cap flexibility. What's the move with DeAndre Ayton? He's an expiring deal. Do you trade him now? Do you trade him at the deadline? There's a lot of big calls to be made here.
15 days away. Crazy.
Carter Bryant, you are a Blazer.
Swag would be so excited if they got Carter Bryant.
Might go get a jersey.
Really?
Right out of the gate,
Bryant?
You know?
Why not?
You're right. Kike Hernandez.
What if he wears 24? Or 8?
Why are you asking that?
Bryant.
Oh.
We got our own Bryant.
See what you did there.
Could be our Black Mamba.
Let's get into a little bit of an update at Omaha, and then we got a special edition of the Daily Ticker. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. We got a special edition of the Daily Ticker at 7:30. There's a lot of NFL news out there, so we'll give that to you coming up.
24 of the 32 mandatory mini camps opening up today.
You see Jason Kelce drove through Oregon?
I saw that.
That was pretty cool.
He was down in...
Why is that cool?
Coos Bay?
Check out my state, man.
He was stopping at roadside cafes eating massive meals. Did you see one of the meals he ordered?
They were huge.
Sando, pancakes, crepes, pie.
He's a big guy.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, we went to some pancake place, little hole in the walls.
One of them his mom worked at, I guess. I guess his mom is from Oregon.
What? The Kelce mom's from Oregon?
He had a photo. She worked at one of the stops that he made for like a long, I think I had that right, but
is
maybe
Donna Kelce? Is that her name? Donna Kelce?
Or maybe, because I think one of the places is called Ma's. So maybe he was referencing the actual Ma and not his Ma. But I read it as his mom, so if I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
pancake Akron pie or something.
Yeah, it was a pancake pie. Yeah, it was. That's cool. I like when people showcase our state, man.
Does it make you feel like, look at
it does.
We're special.
It's such a sad thing to admit, but it does. We don't get a lot of that, man. No, Jason Kelsey's in
Corey
my state.
Corey Feldman, Jason Kelce, look at us.
Look at us, dude. We're going places.
We're the
out
hub
here,
of the
man.
World. Fleet Week.
Stay away from the bridges, all right?
Damn it, man. When those things raise, I hate this city. We got the bracket released from Omaha.
Omaha! Omaha!
So here's how it goes. These are the first games. Coastal Carolina will take on Arizona Friday at 11 o'clock a.m. on ESPN.
Catch the fever.
Game two, Oregon State. Dirt's Beavers will take on the Louisville Cardinal at 4 o'clock ESPN. We'll follow that game.
I'll have my Beaver jersey on. I'll be ready to go, man.
Saturday, bracket two. UCLA will take on Murray State at 11 a.m.
Let's go Racers. Let's go John Morant.
Arkansas will take on LSU after that at 4 p.m. our time. And so you got that. That's actually a sneaky, tough game, Arkansas.
Those are the
LSU.
Only two SEC teams there.
They got to play each other right out of the gate. The
right
two SEC
gate,
teams get matched up against each other.
And those are two pretty traditional. Like, LSU's obviously captured that trophy a few times. But
they have.
That's a tough matchup. I actually, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about almost any of these teams.
Give me the fundamental breakdown. How do you feel about the opponents and the matchups?
I'll say this. Arkansas should be the favorite. You told me the Vegas odds. They are the favorite. So that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know where LSU is, but LSU has this in their DNA. They've hoisted that trophy. They just did it with Skeens a couple years ago.
They did.
UCLA is actually one of the – it's probably the second best story, I would say, of all the teams in the tournament. They were a disaster last year. Like, garbage. They made a big hire. They switched, and now they're in Omaha. It's crazy to jump from where they were to where they are. Murray State is the other – that's the best story here. Murray State has a stadium of 800 people, and their coach still mows their field. Murray State does not belong here, and they've done it. They beat Duke.
I mean, they're the easy rooting interest in this tournament. Murray State winning 100% a national title would be absolute bananas.
If my Beavs go down and Murray State's still alive, I will be rooting for Murray State.
That guy's out there on a John Deere mowing the outfield of his own field just to get ready for a game. It's wild.
Louisville, I have no feedback on that other than I hope they lose. Coastal Carolina is a good story. Their coach basically told Florida's coach to piss off.
He did.
Which I loved. Like, I love when a coach kind of bumps the chest back like, yo, man, you're a legend. You're acting like this. Respect yourself. And Arizona, I mean, Oregon Duck fans are cheering for Arizona so they can feel good about their loss.
Except we didn't lose to them, though.
Yeah, they won your... They won your region.
Yeah, but we didn't lose to them, though.
It's like, you know, we lost to the champion, actually. Come to the second best team.
I don't know if that's quite a thing because we didn't play them. But
it's absolutely a thing.
I mean, we didn't lose to them.
It's like when the Mavs
though.
Won the NBA Finals.
But we played the Mavs and we lost to the Mavs.
Do you know who played the Mavs the toughest?
The Blazers did because we actually played them.
We could have beat the Heatles.
We couldn't even beat Utah Valley to get the chance to play Arizona.
Or
so
Cal Poly.
I don't know if I'm rooting for Arizona to win. That doesn't mean anything for me.
Can you give us the odds for this? How does Vegas see this shaking out? I know you got some Murray State stuff you want to get to, but what is the Vegas odds?
Arkansas is a favorite, plus 195. Yep. LSU second, so they're going SEC heavy. Shocker, plus 240. Coastal Carolina is a plus 600, and then your Beavs come in at a plus 650. If you want to take the long shot on Murray State, they're a plus 4,000 to win the national championship.
I mean, take long odds. Why would you not?
Well, I mean, other than the fact that we can't gamble it here, that I would gamble on it if I could. That would be fun to put a couple of bucks on Murray State. The idea that a team is in the College World Series, and you get this a lot in the NCAA tournament, but the World Series is different where like their stadium is like a high school field.
It looks like a high school field. They say 800 can sit there. I don't believe them.
Doesn't look like 800. I don't even know those are actual dugouts. I think it's just on top of the field. There's no dugouts. The coach is out there in a John Deere mowing in the outfield. And the fact that a team like that has made it to the College World Series is bananas and really cool. They beat Duke yesterday. I didn't watch any of the game because I'm not that into college baseball, but I'll watch a little bit this weekend and I'll be rooting for
the nail biter. 5-4.
Yeah, it was. They came back late.
Well, their leadoff hitter has been hitting jacks in every game. He had two. So they got an early lead. Then Duke came back and then Murray State hit a couple more home runs like in the eighth inning. They had a chance to really blow it open. And Duke got out of it and almost forced extra innings. They were rallying there.
So if the Beavs win, they will play Sunday at 4 o'clock on ESPN2 against the winner of Coastal Carolina, Arizona. If they lose, I believe that's what this empty slot is for.
Sunday morning,
11 a.m.
So you play another loser
of Arizona, Coastal Carolina.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So the two games Friday, you'll match up against the winner or loser of that game. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget being in New Orleans years ago and realizing the level of psychotic college baseball fan that exists down there. It's a whole different animal.
I'd argue, Well,
that
women's
LSU
hoops is
stadium
good, but
doesn't seat like 15,000.
I mean,
LSU's
sure
second
does,
sport is baseball.
It's wild, dude.
That's their second sport.
I was walking around in Oregon gear one of the days, and somebody was so dumb down there because they're from Louisiana that they then tried to like ricochet trash talk me because LSU, I think, had just beaten Oregon State in a World Series or
a
regional or something.
Regional, yeah.
They had just beaten them in one of those years, and they tried to talk trash to me about that. And I looked at them like,
Green and yellow.
You stupid or something? Do you realize these are two different schools?
Go Tigers.
I'm like the dad or the teacher in Forrest Gump. Man, your kid doesn't read very good. This guy's an idiot. You don't realize. I was rooting for you. It was in-state rivalry. That's not
I thought you were a Beaver baseball fan, though.
Not a team I root. Well, now I do. Now I do. You guys have had a rough couple of years. I hope you have fun this weekend in Omaha.
I hate you.
What?
Tone, you said that.
Go
you know
win another title.
Nah, you know you're doing
it. Go win a fourth title.
So you cannot care about
Get
it.
Get four of these. Get you four of these. That's badass, dude.
You know what you're doing.
It's great.
You know what you're doing.
Everybody's ready to go.
Yeah, they are. Swag, fill me in Louisville. Should we be worried? I don't know how to gauge Louisville.
Papa's in the house. That's all I know.
Don't know much
about
Louisville.
He's going to be slanging
Louisville.
That pizza at I don't you
think
on Friday.
I think they kicked him out of the house.
No, he's back, baby.
Okay.
He's
I think Shaq's in the house now.
Shaq's in the house
I
now?
I think he bought Papa.
Are you Shaqed in a fool on Friday night?
Never forget. The minute Peyton Manning won a second Super Bowl, he celebrated with Papa John first.
He did. First thing he did.
It's like when Dan Lanning beat Ohio State. He celebrated with podcasting guys first.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
You got to be careful who you celebrate with first.
Yeah. That's like, you know,
should be your assistant coach, should be a quarterback, like
somebody on your team.
Somebody. Like Peyton should have ran to Von Miller and said, thank you for being excellent. I suck. We shouldn't have won this game. I'm terrible. Thank you for winning the football game for me. But he went to Papa John.
He went to Papa's
who was
house.
Easily 9 drinks into his Super Bowl party.
Yeah, he was hammered. Wearing his Papa John's outfit.
Wearing the shirt. Yeah,
wearing the red shirt.
He just wears that every day.
That's all he wears. Well, I think it's all he did wear. Now, you know, he might be a little pissed off at the old company.
I think he's still on the board. I just don't think he's the...
How do I even Google that? Is Papa still in the house? Should I Google that and see what comes up?
Papa's still in the house,
Who is Papa John's?
We'll see what happens with the Beavs.
I think Beavs fans should feel confident about getting out of their bracket.
The entire bracket?
Oh, we're feeling good?
Well, they're
half... Coastal Carolina's a wagon this year.
They are, but I think...
Arizona came back from losing 18-2 and beating North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
Right, and the Beavs... came back, and they haven't swept their way. They
we also haven't left our stadium. Arizona's done it
but they know what
twice.
They're doing in Omaha.
Okay, all right.
I mean, nobody's ever been there before.
Nobody on
Mitch
this team
has.
He's not playing.
Well, but he knows his way around.
Like the
bathroom's down to the left? Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know if he's ever been to the stadium. He played at Old Rosenblatt.
Oh, is he there?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, he hasn't been to the new stadium. He said that.
This is his first trip to Omaha's head coach.
Doc Parker knows where he's going.
Doc knows where he's going.
He knows his way.
And he's going to the zoo. Taking a left.
I know where
I did hear that yesterday.
I love that he had a zoo membership in Omaha.
Dude, the Omaha Zoo is badass.
I'm not saying it's not, but
it used to be right in the outfield, the Rosenblatt. Remember that giant dome that was out in the outfield? That was like their indoor safari land. I'll never forget going to that with my grandparents.
We have a special edition of the Daily Ticker to get to. Don't forget, we got the mail sack as well. We'll get to that at 8:15, so your mail sack questions are welcome in to the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Let's get to our special edition Daily Ticker. Next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. And did you know that they got a lot of hardware down there in Pacific City currently?
Yeah, they got a little bit of a dynasty brewing.
They really are. I think we're using the big D word with Pelican at this point.
Yeah, the D's in our mouth.
The D is there, and they're a dynasty. They're unstoppable. They won 6 awards. They just had the 30th annual North American Brewers Association Beer Awards. They won 6 awards. You ready for their winners?
Yeah.
CN Red, the Irish Style Red Ale. CN Red's a good. It's
really
good.
Might be my favorite.
Is that one of your favorite Pelican beer?
It's that or Tsunami Stout.
I'll always mix it up.
The Tsunami Stout is so good.
But the CN Red, like if I was to choose one on a day,
I
just
drink
there,
that any day.
Doesn't matter
cold,
the time.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. It fits all styles, no doubt. There's Sunrise Surfer Blonde Ale won an award. Head Out Hefeweizen. I love saying the word Hefeweizen.
Me too.
That one, the Mary and Berry Craft Soda. The new Craft Sodas are out.
Go.
Look at that. They're already bringing in some hardware for the Craft Sodas. Their Beach Beer, just cream ale. Nice, simple, easy, to the point. And then Raspberry at Sea is another one of my favorites. I'm a big Raspberry at Sea's guy. So they won 6 awards. The dynasty is continuing. And, you know, look, they're a bit of a Golden State, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry situation right now. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to beat them.
Well, we shouldn't break them up either.
No, don't leave in free agency, Lishka.
No.
Okay, you stick around. You re-sign with that organization. You got more titles to come. All right, we're doing a little bit of a different Daily Ticker today. Swag has concocted some NFL audio for us, and let's do it, and
so,
let's talk about
24 of the 32 mandatory minicamps opening up. Was it the Jets that started? Somebody started yesterday. But All sorts of story headlines. Yes, we know Aaron Rodgers now going to Pittsburgh. We know about Trey Hendrickson, but there's a few other underlying
TJ Watt
issues.
TJ Watt wants a new deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to that later. But we will first start. One of the names, Buffalo, is this the do or die year? Do they have to get it done this year? A lot of guys got their new contracts in the offseason, except running back James Cook, who had tied for the league lead with 16 rushing touchdowns, rushed for over 1,000 yards. Adam Schefter on the Adam Schefter podcast talked about his status.
We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet. And James Cook's a valuable member of that offense. But I don't believe that these two sides are anywhere close to a deal at this point in time. And as we enter a critical season for the Buffalo Bills, James Cook is one of the more important players there. And with a deal not on the horizon, that looms as a little storm cloud over the promising season that's ahead for the Buffalo Bills. Now, if he doesn't show up there, what do? Well, they've got Ray Davis. They've got Tyler Johnson. They've got some firepower. They could always add another running back, but that offense certainly will lose something by not having James Cook. And my point here is, I don't think the two sides are close now, and I think this is going to take some time to figure out.
So how big a deal?
I love the cadence.
Cook's not there. Is, and we saw when Josh Allen actually has some dependable running backs, he doesn't have to run all the time. How dynamic it makes their offense.
I think James Cook is a good player. He needs a new contract. I just went and looked at the top paid running backs. He is so far down that list. There's like four rookies making more than him. He's, I think, at 1.4. Look, I don't know how big they're trying to go here with this contract. Also, if I'm Buffalo, you got to look at this one way. That Allen contract is a lot. We got to pay certain positions more than the others. James Cook, thank you. But if you're not coming in at whatever that number is that they're offering or, you know, somewhere around it,
you move on.
You kind of have to move on. The running game is dictated by the offensive line. Yeah. You can find a running back. Now, James Cook, again, he is a good football player, but you can only go so much on running back. There's only, what, 3-4 running backs in the NFL that are worthy of being, like, really paid that are, like, true game changers. The rest of them, there's good players, but a lot of them are interchangeable. So I kind of lean a little more Buffalo Bills here. Thank you, James Cook. Let's reach an agreement. If you can't, I'm sorry, man. We're going to have to find somebody that can for a cheaper price.
Yeah, and I would say, too, the other thing with Buffalo, first off, he did show up, so that's a good sign that he's not holding out.
Exactly.
So he wants a new contract. He's there. We'll see how it all plays out through the rest of training camp, or I shouldn't say training camp, but mini camp into training camp and all that. The other part of Buffalo that I think they will always have in their hip pocket is Josh Allen is such a dominant physical runner. Now, you don't want him to do it a ton, but he's gone over 500 yards every season he's been in the NFL. He had 12 rushing touchdowns last year. So when you have a quarterback that's also a part of your run game, I think it lessens the importance of that position. They have to be balanced offensively. That was their emphasis last year, and it helped them a ton. They were an inch away from potentially winning the AFC Championship game, but you're not going to break the bank for James Cook.
Mm-hmm. We'll stay in the AFC East. The Patriots were the first team to open up camp. That was yesterday, or their mandatory mini camp, and all the questions were after the boat video with Stephon Diggs and Cardi B and mysterious pink substances. Mike Vrabel was asked, how's it going with Stephon?
I mean, just trying to figure out where everything is and you know what his role is, and making sure that as we add those situations, the third down, the no huddle and the red zone, that he's staying up on it. He's working hard in his rehab, and when he can, you know, certain drills he can be out there, and there's certain drills that he won't be, but I think he's engaged, and I like his energy.
Is Stephon Diggs going to work?
he sounds, I don't know how you guys are taking away Vrabel's comments, because he was asked about the pink substance video when it came out, and now he's at the mandatory part of camp. He sounds like a dude not overly committed to this, and he's just dancing around it, and he's like, he's here, we're practicing, we're trying hard, we got third down stuff.
I think Stephon Diggs feels like a guy who also is not overly committed to this, and I would rather spend my free time with hot chicks on boats.
Can we be honest? If your
cocaine.
Girlfriend is Cardi B, how committed to football can you be?
I'd be pretty interested in Cardi B.
Because you know who she be? Cardi B. and she's twerking on a boat.
I mean, you better hope it works out. This, they're in an interesting spot where we haven't talked as much about them, but Chicago did this last year where you draft a quarterback early, and then you immediately fire the head coach, you fire the offensive coordinator, and you're learning a whole new system, and how do we make your life easier? I mean, Drake May was a top five pick in the draft, and yeah, they just immediately fired his head coach. He's got a, I love the hire of Vrabel. Everybody knows how I feel about him and how good he's been in his career. So will that work out? You've hired a, you know, McDaniels back as your offensive coordinator.
How many times can somebody be an offensive coordinator for a team?
A million times, evidently, in New England. And when he's had, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time, some would argue, he's looked good as an offensive coordinator. And in every other offense he's been in, he's kind of sucked. So is that going to work out for you? But one of the biggest needs that they've had is where? For years on the outside. And this was their solution to it. And so I'd be a little concerned and say, no, it's probably not going to work out. This guy is worn out his welcome in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He wore out his welcome in Buffalo. Last year, he wasn't there long enough and healthy long enough to do it in Houston. And we haven't even got, it's June. And we're already, talking about this guy being a distraction with cocaine on a boat and Cardi B, which, dude, go have fun, man. That sounds like an awesome Tuesday. I'd love to go have cocaine on a boat with Cardi B. But that's a different point when we're talking September, October, November, and being a reliable number one wide receiver.
It's a good poll question. Would you love to be on a boat doing cocaine?
Dude, everybody's voting yes on that. Nobody's voting no on that.
I think even Swagger would be like, all right, I'll try it, dude, if I had to.
I mean, sure, twist my arm.
Why is it pink? Shut up, Jason. Just do it, okay? It
doesn't matter.
All right, one final one here. My team, the Chargers, this is the year. Harbaugh, the system is in place.
Yes.
Their schedule, their first three games are all against their division opponents.
I kind of like that.
And right out of the gate. So they can get a leg up on where they want to get. And Harbaugh there before mandatory minicamp addressed how crucial the start of the season will be.
Chiefs week one, Raiders week two, Broncos week three. So, you know, we're going to find out where we stand in that competitive division, you know, right off the bat. So, you know, it's coming. We know it's coming. So so get ready for it. I mean, let's prepare. Let's make today. Let's make it a great day and see if we can be better today than we were yesterday and be better tomorrow than we are today.
There's nothing special about that comment, but it's the way he delivers
it. It's just Harbaugh.
I could listen to him for hours on end. I genuinely could. Like, if you gave me an audio tape of just Jim Harbaugh recordings for a long road trip, I could do that for an entire road trip.
I'm going to give you a sneaky good idea. You have an interesting life. Let's say you move on from this, and you go on, and you become a media giant, all right? The Andy Johnson giant. You write a book. You pay Harbaugh to narrate that book.
I absolutely would pay him to narrate my book. And read it at your own pace, Jim. I don't care if it's a 17-hour book on tape.
And when I was late for my final, I looked around and I could just everything about his cadence, his delivery.
It'd be perfect. Opening with three division games is an interesting start to the year, man. It really is.
If they're ready, then they might have a leg up. They might have an opportunity here.
You start 3-0 if you're the Chargers, yeah, and wins over the Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos. You're feeling fantastic. You're 0-3, 1-2. You're thinking, oh, God, where's this year going to go?
By the way, poll question is up. Does everyone just want to be on a boat doing cocaine with Cardi B? Yes or no at Durden's break?
I mean, we know how to vote there.
Should be a landslide.
There you go. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. If you're looking to beat the heat, great time to be over at the coast, man. It's been hotter than hell here. I bet at Pacific City, Lincoln City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, all of them down there. It's been great. They got four locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at Siletz Bay. A Pelican Brewing Company,
congratulations,
born
guys,
at the beach with way their six medals. It's way awesome. Their dominant run continues. In the beer, hard seltzer, and now craft soda world. We're proud of you. Let's get to a couple of news and notes that we missed yesterday, and one of them mean in terms of what does it mean for the future. We'll dive into that next on the Fan. Well, we talked about something yesterday on the show, but we didn't know who the culprits were going to be, and now we have our answer, and are there more to come? But it came out at some point yesterday morning that these private capital deals were coming to college athletics.
Yeah, this is a weird story because we were told who it was, and then they said,
no, it's not like that at all. It has been reported. So there's this Elevate is the name of the company, this private capital company, and they got some cash. And according to Pete Nakos of On3 Sports, Penn State and UCLA have signed eight-figure private capital deals with this Elevate company.
Mm.
This reportedly makes them the first two in setting some college sports history by being the first two to do it. I also saw another report
yesterday.
Well,
did you see them refute this report?
They both have said we're not a part of
UCLA
this.
UCLA says they've partnered with Elevate. They've been a ticket-selling marketing partner,
sure.
And there's nothing
UCLA
to see
just
here.
Doesn't want to look embarrassed anymore.
Well, they're poor. We know UCLA.
I'm poor.
We know they're poor.
That's why they blew up the conference and went with USC is because they were so badly managed their money that the USC was like, we want to go to the Big Ten. And they said, all right, we'll go take that full share.
Yeah.
I still think Rob Mullen should get in a back room with somebody and beat somebody up for the fact that UCLA gets a full share of the Big Ten and Oregon doesn't.
Well, they were first.
I mean,
if Oregon would have convinced USC and UCLA to be in that group, they'd get the full share.
Why don't you do something, huh?
They're in Los Angeles.
Why don't you? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure everybody is glued to their households watching UCLA football down there. They can't get more than 10,000 people at their damn games.
I hate it.
And they play in the most iconic venue in the history of the sport.
Well, but it's also an hour from their campus. It's
that doesn't matter. There's people in Los Angeles. Billions of people down there. You can't get 10,000 people at a football game.
What town is an hour south of Eugene, Swag?
Roseburg?
Would people... I think
people
Duck
would definitely
would,
go. It's not. This isn't about college students. I'm not. There are people that live in Los Angeles that are close to the Rose Bowl. You realize that,
but
right?
But Pasadena fans probably don't care about UCLA football.
Oh, they don't care. It's in their own town, and they don't give a rip about the football
team. They won the geography lottery. We have to care about LA because of their media market size, but it doesn't make it right.
It was also reported, too, according to Front Office Sports, that Boise State is one of these teams that is actively considering bringing in private equity into its athletic department.
Don't do it.
And that is a future foe in the Pac-12 for you. Their athletic director said he expects to have a deal in place within the next 6 months.
So he came out and said this is going to happen.
The others are
denying it.
Like the whole denial of this is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. They're putting their toe in this water. They've received some cash, and they don't want to be perceived as these first teams that are breaking this third wall and bringing in private equity, especially for UCLA. It's an embarrassing look because they just jumped for more money. They got a huge payday to go to the Big Ten.
Gotcha.
And now you're looking for more money on top of it. I think it's an embarrassing look. I guarantee you there's big deals that are going on at both those universities.
Quick predictions. This is going to end poorly. Something awful is going to come from this private equity, or they'll get their money and they'll fund things and then they'll pay it back and they'll be like, all right, we're all good.
I mean, I tend to think that it will end poorly. A lot of things in college athletics have unintended consequences. And what are the unintended consequences
of
this?
I'm curious how closely the actual university administrations are reviewing those agreements and contracts.
Mm.
That's my curiosity.
Yeah. We'll
so
see.
UCLA's debt. It will be like America's. They talk about paying it down, but it just keeps going up and up
just
and up.
Just take
and
out
up.
Another loan to pay off a loan and then another loan to pay off a loan. You just keep going, man. Just get that interest rate a little bit better and you'll be all right in the long term. So reports came out. The schools refuted it. UCLA and Penn State, the first two, and Boise State saying, we're going to have one in the next 6 months, and that's going to be a future foe of you in the Pac-12, which I want to talk about in the final hour of the show. We got GROs to discuss. Let's get to that. Mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions in. We'll answer them. The fan text line 503-864-6326. We got a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.